In this era, church basements, barbershops, hair salons, community centers, and the like become critically important. A return. We got to get back to doing things the way they did before we had access to the internet. This is not a drill. You can't disrupt someone when they know that you're planning to disrupt them. And you know how we did it? We did it by not telling the opposition everything. We cannot afford at this point in history to let them know what our next move is, where the march is, where we're planning to protest. Like, make them work for it. When you say white Christian nationalist, take the name Christ out of that. Because there's nothing Christ-like about a white Christian nationalist. There's nothing they're rooted in that has Christ in it. There's no love. There's no grace. There's no forgiveness. There's no taking care of
me. I see the difference between me and you is that I just hit rock bottom. After this, I don't have a choice. I got people to provide for, promises I've made, and goals to meet. What you got?
What's going on, folks? This is Daryl, your host of the Narratives Over Wine and Whiskey podcast, where we discuss topics that impact Black and or millennial communities while having a good drink. I feel like it's only right on this episode to pull out the bottle of Uncle Nearest 1856 that I have, because this episode is for everybody who's in the resistance, even if you don't know you're in the resistance yet. But it's especially for Black people. It's for those of us who were stolen from our land, had our names stolen from us, had our occupations stolen from us, and even ended up having our method of making whiskey stolen from us, had our communities stolen from us, had our Black Wall Streets stolen from us, had our dignity stolen from us more often than not, but somehow we still thrived. And you know how we did it? We did it by not telling the opposition everything. This is not a drill. The internet has done a great job of connecting people, but it's also done a phenomenal job of making sure that everyone could see our every move. Social media. I mean, we've given away the culture, right? We've given away for free. We sing, we dance, we entertain. But for that, we get paid, right? And so there is a benefit to the Black community if those dollars remain within the Black community and uplift the Black community. But when we're talking about mobilizing, man, we got to get back to the old way of doing things. We have to stop telling the opposition what's going on. Like, they used to have to infiltrate our systems with spies, with paid agents, with sellouts. But now, all they have to do is hop on Instagram or Twitter. And, you know, it's one thing to say, we disagree. This is our platform. This is what we want. These are our demands. That's cool, right? Like, share that information. But we cannot afford at this point in history to let them know what our next move is, where the march is, where we're planning to protest. Like, make them work for it. Make them put in somebody who's been vetted and somehow slid under the radar. You can't disrupt someone when they know that you're planning to disrupt them. It's not possible. I saw this post today. I think it was, let me make sure I quote them properly. So the Instagram account is Teach for the Culture. And it reads, in this era, church basements, barbershops, hair salons, community centers, and the like become critically important. A return. We got to get back to doing things the way they did before we had access to the internet. And mind you, like I said at the beginning, it's great for connecting people. It's a great tool for learning. But understand that it's not the tool we use to make movements happen. It cannot be. So I really encourage us to get back to our roots. Get back to those late night meetings. Get back to doing things off record. Stop recording everything. You know, everything doesn't need to be in digital format. Sometimes it just needs to be a small leaflet that's handed from person to person so that people know what's going on. And then destroyed, right? Like, and I'm not being an alarmist. I'm being a realist. And we knew this was coming, right? Like, we know who was elected into office. Whether you're a black person who supported the MAGA Republicans or you're a black person who opposed them, you knew what you were getting yourself into. You might have lied to yourself. You might have said that, hey, yeah, they'll do that to them because they're the kind of black people that they don't like. But guess what? They don't like your ass either. You know, somebody said that Soulja Boy and Snoop and Rick Ross and Nelly were invited to the to serve at the pre-inauguration event or to entertain at the pre-inauguration event because they're not the kind of black people that scare white people. They are, you know, Snoop's big on, you know, the pimp culture. Rick Ross was a corrections officer. But a black overseer. You know, and then they said Soulja Boy's a buffoon. So yeah, of course they're gonna want you there because you're the kind of black people that they know they can control. You're not spitting anything uplifting. And you know, that's my biggest disappointment with Ross, right? Because Ross, like a lot of his newer music, is pro building black capital. But then I had to step back and realize a black capitalist in this day and age is still just a capitalist. When you look at capitalism as it's grown and what it's grown to be, which I hate that I'm having to release this episode today because I was looking forward to releasing an episode which will come probably within the next 2 weeks. Me and my boy LaFell discussed capitalism, where it came from, where it is now, and why I support socialism over capitalism in its modern format. But Ross is, he's talking about black capitalism, but from a modern lens, a contemporary lens, not an early 20th century lens, which is a capitalism that I could actually support were it not one that also burned down black Wall Streets. I really, really encourage us to find new ways to communicate. And I mean, even text message, right? I'm sure they can hack our phones, but a text is more secure than putting everything out on the internet. Make them work for it. That's about it, man. We're in a new era. We're in a new age. No matter what side you are on, you knew what you were getting yourself into. You cannot be so stupid as to think that these white supremacists would not do to you what they've done to every black person in the past once they were no longer of use to them, right? They sold them, they killed them, they raped them, they beat them. They used them. They used you. If you, like I said, if you were in support of this, and don't say that it's because of your religion, because these people, when you say white Christian nationalists, take the name Christ out of that, because there's nothing Christ-like about a white Christian nationalist. Very much so potentially like Old Testament based, sure, but there's nothing they're rooted in that has Christ in it. There's no love, there's no grace, there's no forgiveness, there's no taking care of your neighbor. It is a self-serving ideology, and the worst part about it is, for them, it's self-serving, but it doesn't serve themselves, right? These people have been tricked into thinking that Donald Trump cares about them, that Elon Musk, that J.D. Vance, that Jeff Bezos, they think that they care about their whiteness. They don't. They don't care about their whiteness. They care about their money. And if they can use whiteness as a tool to get money, then they will. They have, and they did. And they're going to continue to use you, continue to play you like a piano, continue to string you along. That white supremacist Hail Hitler thing that what's your boy's name? Elon Musk did the other day. I mean, Elon Musk really might hate non-white people. And he loves money more than he hates black people. Or brown people, or any person of color. And I'm really proud, before I go, and with what I just said about how we have to go back underground, right? And then surprise them and then disrupt them. And it starts, it says, in this era, church basements, ellipse, become critically important. Yeah, the church is important. The true church. The church that follows Christ. And I really appreciate, I don't know her name. Matter of fact, let me look it up because the internet is right here. Boom. Pulled it up. The AP News reported, and the headline is, Trump demands an apology from Bishop who asked him to have mercy on LGBTQ plus people and migrants. It was beautiful. The Right Reverend Marion Bood, I might be mispronouncing your name, I apologize, Reverend, but went off on Trump. Matter of fact, here goes the clip right here.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger. For we were all once strangers in this land. May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, and walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people, the good of all people in this nation and the world.
And I love it because it says right here in the article, after he returned to the White House, Trump said, I didn't think it was a good service. They could do much better. He continued to say, she brought her church into the world of politics in a very ungracious way. She was nasty in tone and not compelling or smart. Apart from her inappropriate statements, the service was a very boring and uninspiring one. She is not very good at her job, Trump said. She and her church owe the public an apology. Dog, you're just mad because someone who had your attention in a space where you could not leave told you about yourself. And I love it. I love it, and I need more of that. And you know why it was so beautiful? Because no one knew she was going to do it. No one knew that Reverend was going to go up there and make a fool out of the president to his face, and nothing could be done about it. And she really did it without concern for her own well-being. And that's what happens when you don't tell your next move to the opposition. because they probably vetted her and she knew she had an opportunity to do the right thing and she did it. We got to start moving in silence again. Because it's about to be an interesting 2 to 4 years. I say two because I was just talking to my some of my family members in a text thread. And I told them, I hope we can make it. I hope that the United States of America can make it to the midterm elections. A lot of these Trump supporters, not even 24 hours after the election, began Googling terms like tariffs or Affordable Care Act. And they realized, wow, I just screwed myself over. And then furthermore, once Trump was elected, he said, yeah, I can't do anything about the groceries, really, but oh well. And then once he got into office, he then went ahead and repealed an executive order that limited how much could be charged for prescription drugs. Do you see that you've been played like a deck of cards? So we got to move in silence. Black people, white people, poor people, everybody outside of the 10%. We have to turn this around, or we have to be willing to fight tooth and nail. And I'm not there, right? So I'm speaking from another country. I'm speaking, but I have a dog in the fight. I have a dog in the fight because my family is still there. My loved ones are still there. I want to come back to a country that is still standing, but reformed. But when you take away the office of gun violence prevention, and gun violence is the reason that I moved out of the country, I just can't see myself coming back until we make some necessary changes. I mean, I'll come back, right? I'll come visit. But like, you really took away an office that's supposed to keep the most important thing in my life, my child, keeping him safe. You took away that office day one, didn't wait 24 hours. And I'm supposed to just, you know, bend my knee, kiss the ring. Nah, we got to fight back. This episode of the Narratives Over Wine and Whiskey podcast has been brought to you by Dollars and Stories LLC, helping organizations tell the stories that allow them to raise the dollars necessary to continue having the impact our communities need. For more info, visit dollarsandstories.com.